ఓం శ్రీ పరమాత్మనే నమః. మోక్ష సన్యాస యోగో నామ అష్టాదశోధ్యాయః. ఓకే, ఇట్ ఇస్ రీడ్ ఫ్యూ వర్సెస్ వాట్ వి డిడ్ ప్రీవియస్లీ. ఓం శ్రీ పరమాత్మనే నమః. మోక్ష సన్యాస యోగో నామ అష్టాదశోధ్యాయః. అర్జున ఉవాచ, సన్యాసస్య మహాబాహో తత్వమిచ్ఛామి వేదితుం, త్యాగస్య చ హృషీకేశ పృథక్కేశి నిషోదన. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ, కామ్యానాం కర్మణాం న్యాసం సన్యాసం కవయో విదుః, సర్వకర్మ ఫలత్యాగం ప్రాహుస్త్యాగం విచక్షణాః. త్యాజ్యం దోషవదిత్యేకే కర్మ ప్రాహుర్మనీషిణః, యజ్ఞదాన తపః కర్మ న త్యాజ్యమితి చాపరే. నిశ్చయం శృణు మే తత్ర త్యాగే భరత సత్తమ, త్యాగో హి పురుష వ్యాఘ్ర త్రివిధ సంప్రకీర్తితః. యజ్ఞదాన తపః కర్మ న త్యాజ్యం కార్యమేవ తత్, యజ్ఞో దానం తపశ్చైవ పావనాని మనీషిణాం. ఏతాన్యపి తు కర్మాణి సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలాని చ, కర్తవ్యానీతి మే పార్థ నిశ్చితం మతముత్తమం. నియతస్య తు సన్యాసః కర్మణో నోపపద్యతే, మోహాతస్య పరిత్యాగః తామసః పరికీర్తితః. దుఃఖమిత్యేవ యత్ కర్మ కాయక్లేశ భయాత్యజేత్, సకృత్వా రాజసం త్యాగం నైవ త్యాగ ఫలం లభేత్. కార్యమిత్యేవ యత్ కర్మ నియతం క్రియతే అర్జున, సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలం చైవ సత్యాగ సాత్వికో మతః. నద్వేష్ట్య కుశలం కర్మ కుశలేనానుషజ్యతే, త్యాగీ సత్వ సమావిష్టః మేధావీ చిన్న సంశయః. నహి దేహ భృతా శక్యం త్యక్తుం కర్మాణ్యశేషతః, యస్తు కర్మ ఫల త్యాగీ సత్యాగీత్యభిధీయతే. అనిష్టమిష్టమిశ్రం చ త్రివిధం కర్మణః ఫలం, భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రేత్య నతు సన్యాసినాం క్వచిత్. పంచైతాని మహాబాహో కారణాని నిబోధమే, సాంఖ్యే కృతాంతే ప్రోక్తాని సిద్ధయే సర్వకర్మణాం. అధిష్టానం తథా కర్తా కరణం చ పృథగ్విధం, వివిధాశ్చ పృథగ్ చేష్టాః దైవం చైవాత్ర పంచమం. శరీర వాంగ్మనోభిర్యత్ కర్మ ప్రారభతే నరః, న్యాయం వా విపరీతం వా పంచైతే తస్య హేతవః. తత్రైవం సతి కర్తారం ఆత్మానం కేవలం తు యః, పశ్యత్యకృత బుద్ధిత్వాన్న స పశ్యతి దుర్మతిః. యస్య నాహంకృతో భావో బుద్ధిర్యస్య న లిప్యతే, హత్వాపి స ఇమాన్ లోకాన్ నహంతి న నిబధ్యతే. జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం పరిజ్ఞాత త్రివిధ కర్మ చోదన, కరణం కర్మ కర్తేతి త్రివిధ కర్మ సంగ్రహ. ఓకే, వి సా లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ 17th వర్స్ ఐ థింక్. ఓకే, వేర్ డు ది ఫ్రమ్ ది 18th వర్స్. యస్య నాహంకృతో భావః బుద్ధిర్యస్య న లిప్యతే, హత్వాపి స ఇమాన్ లోకాన్ నహంతి న నిబధ్యతే. సో ఇన్ ది 17th వర్స్ వి సా ప్రీవియస్లీ, భగవాన్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ అ జ్ఞాని, అ వైస్ పర్సన్, అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఫర్గెట్ 18th చాప్టర్ ఓన్లీ presents the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita teaching, what we already understood. Nothing new is said in this 18th chapter. So, what about the jnani? The jnani who has the clear vision of one's own swarupam, alone can be objective towards his body, mind, sense complex. So, the one who is objective towards his body, mind, sense complex alone can be free from the wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Physically giving up activities is not inaction or actionlessness. But in spite of being physically, mentally, orally active also, freeing oneself from the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer alone is actionlessness, inaction. Actionlessness actually, which is jnana, which is moksha. So, in 17th verse, Bhagavan says, Yasya na ahankritaha bhavaha. The one who does not have the notion that I am the doer. I mean, ahankritaha bhavaha means the thought that one who does not entertain the I sense. One who does not have I sense in the body. And yasya buddhihi na lipyate. The one whose mind is not tainted. Such a person, the one who is free from the notion that I am the buddhihi, is said to be the one who is free from ahankritaha bhavaha. Ahankritaha bhavaha. So, what he says, yasya ahankritaha bhavaha nasti, the one who is free from the notion, one who is free from ahankara. Ahankara means what? One who is free from wrong notion about the self. And yasya buddhihi na lipyate, the one whose mind is not tainted, such a person, one whose knowledge is not shattered or shaken, one who is of firm knowledge, such a person, kritva api hatva api, even if he performs any action, still he does not attract any punya papam. Even if he involves himself in the act of killing also, still he will not have any punya papam. Hatva apina lipyate. That's what we saw. Hatva iman lokan hatva api nahanti. Even he doesn't need to kill, even after killing these people also, he does not kill them. He is not bound by that act of killing. Why he doesn't kill? Even if physically he is doing something, if he is free from the notion that I am the doer, then he doesn't do it. Then he is not bound by that result of action also. So, but Bhagavan makes it very clear in the 17th verse, which you have already seen in the previous class. See, irrespective of what you are doing physically, mentally, orally, if there is objectivity on one's part, I mean, if a person has clear vision of one's own self being the Atma, from the standpoint of the Atma, if a person sees oneself being free from actions, if a person is really sees the fact of oneself being free from the doership and enjoyership, such a person, definitely he is not non-performer. A wise person, in spite of being the performer, he is a non-performer of activities. Because as he is a non-performer of activities, because he is free from the notion that I am the doer, he is also free from the notion that I am the enjoyer. Therefore, he is not bound by any result of action also. In spite of doing the actions, he is not bound with the results of actions. Because he is free from ahankara and mamakara. Okay. Next verse. Jnanam geyam. It's a new verse today. Jnanam geyam parijnata trividha karma chodana karanam karma karteti trividha karma sangraha. Jnanam geyam parijnata. It's a new verse. Jnanam geyam parijnata త్రివిధా కర్మ చోదన కరణం కర్మ కర్తేతి త్రివిధ కర్మ సంగ్రహ జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం పరిజ్ఞాత త్రివిధా కర్మ చోదన కరణం కర్మ కర్తేతి త్రివిధ కర్మ సంగ్రహ. So, in his 18th verse, now having talked about a wise person, the benefit of wisdom in the previous verse, saying that it is just mere knowledge liberates a person from, frees one from the wrong notion one has about oneself in terms of I am the door, I am the enjoyer, etc. When the person is free from the wrong notions, even if he performs actions, he becomes a non-performer. And even if he performs actions, he is not bound by the results of actions. That benefit of jnanam, Bhagwan discussed in the previous verse. Now he says, jnanam, jnayam, parijnata, trividha karma chodana. Karma chodana means, that which impels an action, that which causes the action is karma chodana. He says, there is threefold impelling cause of action. Karma chodana. Karma chodayati iti karma chodana. So karma chodana means, that the cause which impels the action is karma chodana. So trividha karma chodana means there is threefold impelling cause of action. What are they? First he says jnanam, jnayam, parijnata. These three. So parijnata means jnata. Jnata means you all know jnata is rikarantaha pullingaha jnatru shabdaha. Jnata, parijnata means knower, the subject of knowledge. Parijnata means knower, the subject of knowledge. Then jnayam means that which can be known is jnayam. So jnayam is what? The known or knowable, an object of knowledge. So subject of knowledge, parijnata, subject of knowledge is the knower. Jnayam, the known, the knowable, the object of knowledge. Then jnanam. Jnanam is knowledge of the object. Jnanam is knowledge of the object. Knowledge. Jnanam is knowledge. In fact, knower, known, knowledge. That is triputi bheda. No, knower, known, knowledge. Jnata, jnanam, jnayam. Alone is said in this verse as parijnata, jnayam, jnanam. Jnanam, jnayam, parijnata. What are these three? It is said, trividha, karma, chodana. These three form the threefold cause of action. These three, knower, known, knowledge, form the threefold cause of action. Then, karanam, karma, karta, iti, trividha, karma, sangraha. Then karanam. Karanam means instrument of action is karanam. Or instrument. And then karma. Instrument of karma. Then karma, the object of action. Please be very clear. Karanam, instrument of action. Jnayam is object of knowledge. Karma is object of action. So instrument of action, object of action, then subject of action, that is karta. Karta means performer of an action. So karta, performer of action, subject of action. Karma, the object of action. Karanam, instrument of action. These three form trividha karma sangraha. These three form the threefold frame of action. Karma sangraha means these three these three form the threefold frame of action. So karma chodana, karma sangraha. What are the three factors which form the cause of action? What are the three factors which form the frame of action? So subjective knowledge, objective knowledge, and the knowledge of object. These three form the cause of the action. And subject of action, object of action, and instrument of action form the threefold frame of action, karma sangraha. Karanam karma karta iti trividaha karma sangraha. This is the literal meaning of this verse. Now, having discussed about the knowledge and the benefit of knowledge in previous verses, as actually I can say, from, see, Bhagavan initially discussed, a different way he present discussed the topic of Karma Yoga. In fact, right from the very first verse until the 12th verse, Bhagavan discussed Karma Yoga, the topic of Karma Yoga, differently. It is not a new subject matter. Already, what we already understood alone, Bhagavan discussed. Then in four verses, 13th verse onwards, until the 17th verse, previous verse, Bhagavan discussed the topic of Jnanam and the benefit of Jnanam, which is, we can say, the Jnana Yoga. Now, we can say that Shastram, the entire Veda Shastram, presents only two disciplines. There's no third discipline. If you remember very clear, two disciplines and two lifestyles, which I made very clear when we were studying before third chapter and all, I explained very long, long ago. I made it very clear. There are only two lifestyles Shastram prescribes. There's no third lifestyle. There are only two disciplines Shastram prescribes. There is a choice between two lifestyles. One can choose, what is that? Living a life of a householder, living a life of a sannyasi. There's a choice between these two lifestyles. One can choose to be, choose to be a householder. Then later on, one can choose to become a sannyasi also. Or without even choosing to become a sannyasi, one can continue to be a householder, still one can attain jnanam. So between the two lifestyles, there is choice. It is not compulsory that everyone should take to life of sannyasa externally. But Shastram says, physically, externally, whether we choose to live a life of sannyasi or a householder, definitely a choice is there. One has to be a grihastha, then one can choose to become a sannyasi later on. Or one can choose to become a sannyasi directly, skipping the grihasthashrama. This Shastram prescribes these two lifestyles. There is a choice. It's not compulsory. But the two disciplines Shastram talks about, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Between these two disciplines, there's no choice. Please be reassured, there's no choice between two disciplines. Everyone has to go through the discipline of Karma Yoga to prepare one's mind for the attainment of Jnanam, to have mental refinement. Then one has to go through the discipline of Jnana Yoga in terms of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasam, etc. to attain the Jnanam. Because Jnanam is the choiceless end. Because Jnanam is the only means of attaining Moksha. Moksha is a choiceless end. So the two disciplines Shastram talks about, which Bhagavan discussed from the first verse, first to the 12th verse, Bhagavan discussed the first discipline, Karma Yoga. And then in four verses, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, five verses, Bhagavan discussed this topic of Jnana Yoga very briefly. But he made it very clear how it is only in Jnanam one can free oneself from the wrong notions. Especially one can free oneself from wrong notions in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. And that is how one can free oneself from bondage of karma. That Bhagavan made it very clear. The two disciplines. But here, here onwards, what can Bhagavan teach newly? Already Bhagavan has discussed briefly the two disciplines. There are only two disciplines discussed in the Shastram. So again, in the 19th verse, what can Bhagavan teach? So Bhagavan is going to again reproduce the content of Bhagavad Gita in a nutshell in the form of a summary from this 18th verse also. Which means already what Bhagavan has presented until the 17th verse also is nothing but the brief summary of the two disciplines, the content of the Shastra. Again, from this 18th verse also, Bhagavan is going to reproduce the same teaching, presenting another brief summary of the entire vision of entire Shastra teaching. How long? This 18th chapter consists of 78 verses. This is the biggest chapter in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. Apart from 18th chapter, second chapter is the Upakrama Adhyayaha. The introductory chapter consists of 72 verses. And 18th chapter is Upasamhara Adhyayaha. This is the concluding chapter which presents the summary. This consists of 78 verses. Now, in his first 17 verses itself, Bhagavan presented the brief summary of the two disciplines, the main subject matter of the Shastram. Again, from this 18th verse until the 40th verse, Bhagavan is going to reproduce the summary of the same teaching. But the presentation of the teaching will be slightly different, that he will discuss the subject matter in the form of 7 topics. He is going to discuss the same subject matter, presenting them in under as 7 topics. And each one of them will be divided into 3 categories. So Bhagavan is going to reproduce the brief summary of the teaching of the entire Bhagavad Gita from this 18th verse onwards until the 40th verse. And in this brief summary again, Bhagavan is going to discuss 7 topics. And each one also will be divided into 3 categories. When I say 3 categories, means in terms of sat, predominance of sattva, predominance of rajas, predominance of tamas. So 7 topics will be discussed for the threefold division. Okay. Now, of course, human beings being born in this world as a human being, one has to perform activities to live one's life. Even though whether a person likes or not, living a life in this world means performing activities. But still, performance of actions performance of actions of human beings. All activities of human beings, again, are divided into two. It means they are categorized into two as what? The act of knowing and the act of doing. All activities of human beings are categorized into two in terms of the knowing activity and doing activity. The activity in terms involving the knowing process, the activity involving the doing process. We can say the act of knowing is said to be jnana, act of knowing is said to be jnana vyavaharaha. And act of doing is said to be karma vyavaharaha. Act of knowing is said to be jnana vyavaharaha. Act of doing is said to be karma vyavaharaha. So, when we say being born in this world as a human being, from the time we are born and from the time we pick up this will, from the time we pick up this ahankara, in terms of when we know I am, that time onwards, the time we are able to make use of our willpower, and we are involved in activities. And all our activities, what we do throughout our life, are nothing but these twofold activities. Twofold activities means, what? The transaction in terms of, we're involved in the transaction in terms of knowing, involved in transaction in terms of doing. Which means we perceive, we learn, we know, and then we do. We know, we do. Knowing is what? Jnana vyavahara, act of knowing. And doing something is what? Karma vyavahara, the act of doing. So which of these two types of activities, the knowing activity, doing activity, between these two types of activities are two types of transactions. The transaction in terms of knowing, transaction in terms of doing. Between these two, or of these two types of transactions, the transaction in terms of knowing, jnana vyavaharaha becomes the first one. Jnana vyavahara is the first transaction, the first process. Because always doing, the karma vyavahara becomes the later one. Which means any doing presupposes the knowledge. Any action presupposes knowledge. Let me give you an example. Suppose you have to get out of the house, you take your car key, get to the house, open the car door, sit in the car, you start driving, and you drive to know where you have to go. Which means you know where you are going, why you are going. Without having the purpose, without knowing the purpose of going out, especially you are going to a medical shop, and then you know what, already you know there is a need, you know what you need, you know where it is available, you know what you need to buy, etc. This is knowledge precedes, the action presupposes knowledge. You must know how to do, what to do, when to do, etc. The knowledge, therefore, jnana vyavaharaha is the first vyavahara, first transaction means first process. then any activity you do presupposes the knowledge. But the karma vivahara becomes the second vivahara, second transaction. Suppose if you even to like something, suppose you have to do something to get something, and you must like something. To like something, you must not exist. So first janati, ichyati, then works to get it. First you come to know of an object, existence of the object, availability of the object. You have the knowledge of the existence, you have the knowledge of the availability of the object. Then you have liking for the object. Only then you can do to get that object. Therefore, action presupposes desire. Desire presupposes knowledge. I told you yesterday also, you can never have a desire for an unknown object. I really like it so much. What do you like? I don't know what I like. You can't say that. Whenever you say, I like it very much, or I hate it also, you must know what you like it, what you dislike also, what you hate also. You cannot have hatred towards something which you do not know at all. You cannot have a passion or strong liking for something which you do not know. Therefore, always action presupposes likes or dislike. Desire. Desire presupposes the knowledge of an object. Therefore, always jnana vyavaharaha is of the first process. Jnana vyavahara is the first transaction. Therefore, it is said, first the person comes to know janati. Then, when the person comes to know about a given object, then he has what? Iccha. Then he icchati, he likes it. Only when he likes it, then he makes effort to possess it. Yatate. So, janati, icchati, yatate. So, first person comes to know of a given object. Then he has desire for that object. When desire for object rises, then he makes efforts to get that object, desired object. Therefore, you can say the entire life of a human being is governed by these three factors. What is that? Knowing, desiring, then working to fulfill the desire. Knowing, desiring, then working to fulfill that desire, to accomplish that given object. Okay, this is the and when, suppose when you like something, when you come to know of something, then you, if icha happens, if liking happens, then you want to get it. Doing something to obtain, to fulfill the desire is known as pravrittihi. And when you do not, when you come to know something, if you do not like it, when you try to do something to get rid of what you do, what you don't like, it is called what? Nivrittihi. So, a desire is of two sides. So, ragaha and dveshaha, passion and aversion, or like and dislike, are two sides of the same coin called desire. And rag, so there always desire arises in terms of like or in terms of dislike. So you come to know of a given thing, the knowledge of a given object contributes for what? Rising of passion or aversion. Contributes the rising of raga or dvesha, like or dislike. If there's a like, the liking for an object rises, then there is effort on the part of a person to do something to fulfill it, to get it. So then that action is what? Pravrittihi. If there's an action on the part of a person to get rid of what he doesn't like, he dislikes, it's called a nivrittihi. Therefore, desire in the form of raga or dvesha, like or dislike, is possible only when there is knowledge of any given object. Therefore, the entire human life is governed by what? Knowing, desiring, making appropriate efforts to get it or to get rid of it. This is how the whole life happens. Therefore, what Bhagavan says here, there are three factors which form the cause of action. So, karma vyavahara, it's a jnana vyavaharaha. What are three factors which cause the action? The jnana vyavahara, which involves, what are three factors? Without the knower, knowledge is not possible. Without the knowledge, objective knowledge is not possible. And only these three factors are involved in jnana vyavahara. There is a knower, there is knowledge of an object, and the object of knowledge. Three factors constitute the cause of the threefold cause of the action. This is jnana vyavahara. So in knowledge transaction also, three factors are involved. Similarly, karanam karta and karma. So the performer of action, object of action, and instrument of action. These three factors constitute what? The frame of an action. Therefore, having the knowledge of the self is in fact having the knowledge of all these six factors. So these divisions, these threefold factors involving jnana vyavahara, threefold factors involved in karma vyavahara, the knowledge transaction, action transaction. Anyway, they're all within the realm of the material world. Material world, they come under the category of aparavidya. Whereas paravidya, the knowledge of the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self, is self-knowledge, which is different, which alone liberates a person from bondage of karma. Atma jnanam liberates a person from this whole, all transactions, bondage of karma. Next verse. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridhaiva guna bhedatah. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridhaiva guna bhedatah. Prochyate guna sankhyani. Prochyate guna sankhyani. Yathavat Shrunutanyapi Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridhaiva guna bhedatah Prochyate guna sankhyani yatavat shrunutanyapi. Okay. Now, Bhagavan is going to present the analysis of some of these threefold factors involved in jnana vyavahara and also karma vyavahara. Okay, now from this following verse onwards, he is going to present the analysis of few factors of these. Okay, first he says, jnanam karma cha karta cha tridha eva gunabhedataha prochyate gunasankhyani yathavachranu tanyapi. What he says, gunasankhyani. Nishya sankhyanam means in the Sankhya system of philosophy. In the Sankhya system of philosophy, Sankhya here means knowledge only. In the knowledge or in the Sankhya philosophy, we can say jnanam, this knowledge, karma, action, karta, the performer of an action or the doer, all this knowledge, action and the performer. See, now all we saw six factors, but here Bhagavan first takes these three factors. What are they? Knowledge, then action and the performer of an action, doer of an action. All these three are said to be guna vedataha tridha. They are said to be threefold. Guna vedataha, in keeping with the difference in gunas. In keeping with the difference of gunas, a difference in gunas, difference of gunas, these three are said to be of threefold, said to be threefold. Which three? Knowledge, action and the doer of action. Where sankhyane mean what? In Sankhya philosophy. So in the Sankhya philosophy, these three are said to be threefold in keeping with the difference in gunas. Sankhyane pro guna sankhyane prochyate. Prochyate means is said to be. Guna bhedataha tridha eva prochyate. Yathavat shrunu tanyapi. May you understand them. May you listen to them. Tanyapi shrunu. Arjuna, may you listen to them also. Yathavat. Yathavat means exactly how they are. How as they are. Yathavat tanyapi shruno. May you listen to them also exactly how they are, as they are. So now Bhagavan is going to first analyze only the first three factors. But three factors, what are those three factors? Knowledge, jnanam, karma and karta. Of course, jnanam, we know very well, jnanam means knowledge and karma means action. Karta means the performer of an action. We must be very careful. The word karma in some contexts means object of action. The word karma in some contexts means action itself. In some context, the word karma means the result of action. Okay, the word karma in different contexts gives different meanings. But here the word karma in this word means action, not an object of action. So karta means the performer of an action. the doer. See, when you say the doer of an action, karta means, karta does not mean a given person. The doer means the one who is there as the doer in every individual being. He's the doer. And these knowledge, action and the doer are the three factors. And it means tridha eva prochyate. And they are said to be threefold. Tridha means they are of three. They are threefold. So, and they divided into three. They classified into three based on the difference, based on the distinction of gunas. So, what are three gunas? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha and tamo gunaha. So, gunas are three. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha are three gunas. In keeping with these three gunas, based on the difference of these three gunas, based on the difference in these three gunas, these three factors also classified into threefold. Three. Which means we are going to understand, there is a jnanam, when you say, there is sattvikam jnanam, rajasam jnanam, and tamasam jnanam. This is how jnanam is classified into three in keeping the difference in gunas as what sattvikam jnanam, rajasam jnanam, tamasam jnanam. Similarly, karma, the action also sattvikam karma, rajasam karma and tamasam karma. So karta, the doer also sattvikaha karta, rajasikaha, rajasaha karta, then tamasaha karta. Three are classified into three in keeping with the difference in gunas. So what Bhagavan says, Bhagavan wants to again convey an important fact here. Whatever Bhagavan teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, he does not say it is his own brand new teaching. He says what already these are the facts already discussed in the Shastram, especially in the Sankhya philosophy, which means Sankhya, Gunasankhyane Prochyate means what? Already in the Sankhya system of Shastra, already this has been discussed. Sankhya philosophy says, Sankhya system of philosophy already states what? That there is Sattvikaha, Sattvikam karma, Sattvik rajasam karma, tamasam karma, Sattvika karta, rajasa karta, tamasa karta, Sattvikam jnanam, rajasam jnanam, tamasam jnanam. This differentiation is already discussed, presented in the Sankhya philosophy. And this is Sankhya system of philosophy, not only that. So even the Vedanta Shastram also, of course, in Vedanta Shastram also, these three gunas are always discussed. But who are specially discussing talking about the gunas? Even though Vedanta Shastrajnas also talk about the gunas, Vedanta Shastram also gives importance and Vedanta Shastram also talks about the three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. But the philosophers, the people who are given to the Sankhya system of philosophy, the scholars of Sankhya system of philosophy are well known for their analysis of three gunas. Especially analysis of all these three in terms of the difference in three gunas. Therefore, what Bhagavan says, what is discussed in the Vedanta Shastram, what is very thoroughly discussed in the, especially the difference in gunas, and the difference in this doer, action, knowledge, etc., in keeping the difference in gunas, etc., are thoroughly very well discussed by Shankya philosophers. So, Bhagavan says, now let us understand those difference in difference between this difference based on gunas. So here another important factor we have to remember is Vedanta Shastram, even though Vedanta Shastram does not accept totally the other system of philosophy, at the same time, Vedanta Shastram never undermines, please take it, remember this fact, Vedanta Shastram never undermines any school of thought, any system of philosophy. It is an important fact to be remembered. Which means, where anything acceptable, there are many, many acceptable factors in different systems of philosophy. Whichever factor is acceptable in any given system of philosophy, Vedanta Shastram accepts it, uses it. But there's no school of thought is abruptly, totally ignored and rejected by the Vedanta Shastra. Which means, whichever school of thought, whoever says anything which does not contradict the reasoning, Veda Shastram accepts. Please understand. So whether a Sankhya philosopher, even if a Buddhist says something, whoever says which, so any philosopher of any school of thought, whatever he says, whatever he says does not contradict the reasoning, if it does not contradict the reason, logic, if it is not illogical, of course, Veda Shastram accepts that. Therefore, here also Bhagavan Krishna mentions what? Hey, come on. This jnanam, this knowledge, then action, the doer of action, all these things are said to be threefold in keeping with the difference in gunas. So so we accept that. So let us understand that also here in this context. So Veda Shastram or Vedanta Shastram does not thoughtlessly, blindly ignore any fact revealed by any school of thought, any statement which doesn't contradict accepts anything which doesn't contradict the reasoning. That's why there's one Vedic statement, Ano Bhadra Kratavoyantu Vishvataha, means that all noble thoughts come to us from all sides. Means what? Anything noble means, not only noble, anything which does not contradict the reasoning can be accepted, whoever says it, wherever it comes from. At the same time, we don't need to simply accept also, without thinking what it says, without knowing what it says, simply we should not accept. We analyze and see whether it contradicts our reasoning or not, only then we accept. Okay. Even if Veda itself says something which is not acceptable, which contradicts the reasoning, then you need not accept it. That is what Veda teaches. That's how Veda teaches. Therefore, even though Sankhya system of philosophy is not something totally accepted, at the same time totally not rejected also by Vedantins. So Bhagavan brings that fact also to our notice, saying, is this threefold division of knowledge, action and a doer based on the difference in gunas is presented by presented in the Sankhya philosophy. Okay. Let us see how Bhagavan is going to discuss the teaching. Sarva bhoteshu yenaikam bhavamavyayamikshate. Prayer following? Okay. Sarva bhoteshu yenaikam bhavamavyayamikshate. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tadjnanam. Tadjnanam viddhi sattvikam. Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam bhavamavyayamikshate. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tadjnanam viddhi sattvikam. Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam bhavamavyayamikshate. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tajnanam viddhi sattvikam. Now he says, viddhi means, hey Arjuna, may you understand. So first, in his 20th verse, Bhagavan talks about sattvikam jnanam. Sattvikam jnanam. What is sattvikam jnanam? First he says in his 20th verse. So viddhi means, may you know, may you understand. He addresses Arjuna, hey Arjuna, may you know, may you understand. May you understand that to be sattvikam jnanam. Tat jnanam sattvikam. Tat jnanam sattvikam viddhi. May you understand that knowledge to be sattvic knowledge. Tat jnanam sattvikam viddhi. May you understand the knowledge to be sattvic jnanam. What is the sattvikam jnanam? Yena yekam avyayam avibhaktam bhavam vibhakteshu sarvabhuteshu ikshate. Very beautiful. Sattvikam jnanam is that, sattvic knowledge is that by which yena ikshate. Ikshate means what? Ikshate is atmanepadam, one sees. If a person has sattvikam jnanam, his perception must be different from ordinary other people. What he sees will be different from what others see. See, all the people have eyes. All of us use the same eyes to see everything. But still, there's difference in perception in keeping with the internal vision, isn't it? Therefore, he says, sattvikam jnanam is that if a person has sattvikam jnanam, his perception will be different. That by which knowledge, by which sattvic knowledge, ikshate, one sees. One sees what? One sees yekam. One sees, first of all, one truth. You say one means what? Advayam. Yekam here implies advayam. Sattvikam knowledge is that by which one sees a non-dual, one secondless non-dual. Yekam implies yekam advayam advitiyam. Yekam advitiyam advayam. One sees one secondless non-dual. Non-dual existence, truth. Avyayam, the non-dual truth is what? Imperishable, unchangeable, unchanging. So that by which one sees one secondless, non-dual, unchanging, changeless, avibhaktam, undivided bhavam. The truth, the existence in terms of self, the person who is able to see the truth obtaining as one's own self, thereby the person who sees the self not as the body minus complex, the person who sees the self being what? Non-dual, secondless, one secondless, non-dual, unchanging, unchanging, undivided self, the truth in all the sarveshu vibhakteshu sarva bhuteshu in all the divided beings. In fact, put it correctly, the person sattvikam jnanam is that by which one is capable of seeing the unity in diversity. Okay, the one who is capable of seeing the unity in diversity is the one who is said to have what? Sattvikam jnanam. Even if you see countless number of waves which are divided, and see, if you were able to see the only truth of water, the only truth of water, only undivided water in all the divided waves, it is jnanam. But here, absolutely, if a person has the knowledge of the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self, and he will see what? The only truth being the only self of all the beings. The person can see the only truth being one, the truth obtaining as one's own self is the only self of all the beings also. Therefore, here it is said, sattvikam tad jnanam sattvikam vidhi. May you understand that knowledge to be sattvic knowledge, yena, by which one sees one secondless, non-dual, unchanging, undivided, is a changeless, undivided self in all the divided countless number of beings, vibhakteshu sarva bhuteshu, in all divided beings. For according, the person who knows clear vision of the self cannot see second self. You see the one's own self being the only self of all the beings. So, in this verse, Bhagavan says the person who has the wisdom, absolute knowledge of the truth, alone is said to have sattvikam jnanam. See, every human being initially is born ignorant. So, helplessly, being ignorant of ignorance, one mistakes the anatma, body, mind, and complex for the self. Then one entertains the notion that I'm an individual, limited being. And having wrong identity, not knowing one's own essential nature, when a person mistakes himself to be an limited individual being, then he is called Jivaha. Only in ignorance, a person thinks he is a Jiva. Because when a person mistakes himself to be a limited individual because of his wrong identity, because of his ignorance, then he is a Jiva. And as a result, then somehow when a person discovers later on, but distinguishes oneself as the knower and being different from the known body, mind, sense complex, then the question arises, who the knower am I? Thereby he arrives at the truth with the help of the Shastram and the teaching, And if the person has that clear vision of the truth of the whole cosmos, obtaining as one's own self, and he, in the light of the clear vision of one's own self being the reality, he understands another fact that one's own self, the same reality, one and the same reality is the only truth of only self of all the beings also. And be endowed with that clear vision of the only secondless non-dual reality, obtaining as one's own self, being the only self of all the undivided self, being the only self of all self in all divided beings is what Sattvikam Jnanam. Okay, now next verse Bhagavan is going to discuss about. Rajasam Jnanam. What is Rajasam Jnanam? Next verse, he talks about Rajasam Jnanam. Prithakvena tu yajnanam. Nana. After discussing the three verses, threefold jnanam, again I'll explain these three verses. Prithaktvena tu yajnanam, nana bhavan prithakvidhan. Prithaktvena tu yajnanam, prithaktvena tu yajnanam, nana bhavan prithakvidhan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu, tajnanam vid. Dhirajasam. Prithaktvena tu yajnanam, nana bhavan prithakvidhan. Prithaktvena tu yajnanam, nana bhavan prithakvidhan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu, tajnanam vid. Dhirajasam veti sarveshu bhuteshu tajnanam vidhirajasam prithaktvena tu yajnanam nana bhavan prithakvidhan veti sarveshu bhuteshu tajnanam vidhirajasam prithaktvena tu yajnanam, nana bhavan prithakvidhan, veti sarveshu bhuteshu, tajnanam vidhirajasam. Now Bhagavan says in this 21st verse, what is rajasam jnanam? Hey Arjuna, he doesn't call Arjuna by his name, we have to, it is implied. Rajasam tad jnanam rajasam vidhi. Vidhi, may you understand tad jnanam, that knowledge to be rajasam jnanam. Rajasam, may you know that knowledge to be rajasam jnanam. Mean what? Rajasic knowledge. What rajasic knowledge? Yena. Prithaktvena tu yajnanam nana bhavan prithakvidan veti sarvabhuteshu. So rajasam, rajasic knowledge is that by which. So yati jnanam, that knowledge, rajasic knowledge is that knowledge, that knowledge. So because of which, by which, once one knows, see veti means one knows, because of which one knows, when one has wrong understanding, what one knows or one sees, prithak vidhan, prithak, yes, prithak vidhan, nana bhavan, prithaktvena, sarveshu bhuteshu veti. Veti means what? One knows. Just seek knowledge is that because of which, by which one knows, one sees. What now? Prithag vidhan bhav, nana bhavan. One sees one sees prithag vidhan, different. One sees prithag vidhan means various types. One sees various types. What now? Nana bhavan. The word bhava has taken as beings or jivas. By which one sees various types or different types, different jivas, different beings, different and many beings, different and many jivas. Where sarveshu bhuteshu, in all beings. If a person's understanding is ajasic, then he can only see that the many jivas, he sees the difference in all jivas, he sees plurality of jivas in all beings. He sees many jivas, he sees difference in jivas in all beings. He sees different jivas, he sees many jivas in all beings. How? Prithaktvena. To be different. What it means is, of course, difference is there or not. Jivas are many, jivas are different, and there are many beings. So, sarveshu bhuteshu, in all beings, there are many jivas. And those jivas are different from each other. This difference in jivas, this plurality of jivas in all beings, is it real? No. It is relatively real, empirically real, apparently real. Even though there is different and many jivas in all beings, apparently, really, there are not many jivas. There are different jivas. Absolutely, there is only non-different truth. But the person of rajasic knowledge sees different and many jivas in all beings to be different. See, what is the apparent difference, apparent plurality, in apparent different apparent plurality in all beings is mistaken to be really real, mistaken to be real. Apparent difference in jivas, apparent plurality of jivas in all beings, if it is mistaken to be real difference and real plurality, then that knowledge is what? That wrong knowledge is rajasic knowledge. Erroneous perception is, erroneous knowledge is rajasic knowledge. We cannot say there's no difference at all in jivas. We cannot say there's no plurality of jivas. Of course, there are many jivas, and all jivas are different in all the beings. This difference is real or not? This is not absolutely real. This is apparently real. Of course, this apparent difference, this is a seeming difference, a seeming plurality in all beings. But if the seeming plurality and seeming difference is mistaken to be real difference and real plurality, and that erroneous perception is said to be, erroneous knowledge is said to be rajasic knowledge. Rajasam jnanam. So he says, Hey Arjuna, Tate Rajasam Jnanam Vidhi. May you understand that knowledge to be Rajasic knowledge. Yad Jnanam. Yad Jnanam means Yena Jnanena. By which one knows, one sees different and many jivas in all beings to be different. What he means is the one who sees the apparent division, apparent difference, apparent plurality to be real plurality and real difference and real difference. Then his knowledge is what? Rajasic knowledge. What he wants to say, the person of Rajasic knowledge, the person of Rajasic knowledge is not, of course, a person of clear understanding like a person of Sattvic knowledge. And he definitely, he knows the physical body, he knows the self is not the physical body. He knows. Which means he does not take the gross physical body as the Atma. No. Does not take the physical. The person of Rajasic knowledge does not the clear vision of the person of Sattvic knowledge. But at the same time, he knows that physical body is material in nature. So he does not take the physical body as the self. So he is not a totally materialistic person. There's a highly materialistic person. And the person who of the Charvaka school of thought, the philosopher, the Charvaka, the person of Charvaka school of thought is a person of who's highly materialistic. And for him, what is this only physical body? A physical body is real, physical body alone is the self. And because they take only physical body as the self, they do not believe in rebirth. And therefore, they do not consider the right action, wrong action. They do not accept that there is something called punya papam. Therefore, they think you can do any wrong thing, so you can enjoy your life. So there are people who are of such view, contention. But what Bhagavan says here, this person of Rajasic knowledge is not a worst materialistic person. He does not take the body as the self. But still, he does not have a clear vision like a person of Sattvic Jnanam. What does he do? At least he knows He sees the mind. This person, Rajasic knowledge, distinguishes the mind from the physical body. Doesn't stop only with the physical body. And because he sees the mind, even though he does not take the body as the self, he mistakes the mind as the self. And he has a very strong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, what? Entertaining the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, mistaking the mind as the self, and still, because minds are many, therefore, for him, plurality is real. Even though plurality is apparent, he mistakes plurality to be real. And the difference is apparent. There's no real difference. We mistake the difference to be real. Duality is real. Plurality is real. Divisions are real. Differences are real. Therefore, this person, why? Because his identity is with the mind. At least he is able to differentiate the physical body as non-self. But he is stuck with the mind. He is not able to go ahead of mind. And he having the identity with the mind, and he entertains the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Therefore, he sees this apparent division to be a real division. He sees the apparent difference to be a real difference. He sees the apparent plurality to be real plurality. He sees they're all different. He sees the self, he sees the jivas being different. He sees the whatever is apparently there, seemingly there, is mistaken to be absolutely there. For him, it is real. In fact, the Charvaka, for Charvaka, the person of Charvaka school of thought, only body becomes everything. Whereas the person of Sankhya system of Sankhya school of thought, he goes ahead and he sees the mind. What happens? Therefore, according to the Sankhya school of thought, the jivas are many. And according to even Nyaya Vaisheshika school of thought also, the jivas are many. All these Sankhya system of philosophy, Nyaya system of philosophy, all these people of different schools of thought, all of them are of the view that there are many jivas. There are many jivas. Like saying there are many waves, there are many jivas. And therefore, jivas are many, they're all different from each other also. For them, the difference, the apparent difference is real difference. The plurality which is apparent is real plurality. Why? The reason is they have strong identity with the mind. Even though they do not mistake the body as the self, still they mistake the mind as the self. They are not able to, mind also is subtle matter. So they missed, even though they leave the gross matter as the non-self, they're not able to shift their identity from the subtle matter mind. So having strong identity with the mind, mistaking the mind, subtle material mind as the self, they entertain wrong notions as such as, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. And that be what happens when they see the self from the standpoint of the mind. Naturally, there are the plurality is real, differences are real. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, such mistaken, that mistake, this erroneous knowledge of seeing the apparent difference and plurality as real difference and real plurality is rajasic knowledge. Okay. Next verse. Yattu krishnavade, yattu krishnavade kasmin karye sakta mahaitukam. Are you all with me? Listening, is everything clear? Yattu krishnavade karsmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvar. One second. Yattu krishnavade kasmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvarthavadal pancha atatvarthavadal pancha tattamasamudahritam yattu krishnavade kasmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvarthavadal pancha atatvarthavadal pancha tattamasamudahritam yattu krishnavade kasmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvarthavadal pancha tattamasamudahritam. Now, in his 22nd verse, Bhagavan talks about the tamasam jnanam. See, Bhagavan is going to discuss about karma and also karta. We are only discussing, we are only understanding the difference based on the gunas. We are understanding only the jnanam. Sattvikam jnanam, rajasam jnanam, we understood. Now, tamasam jnanam, what is tamasam jnanam? He says, tat tamasam udahritam. Tat tamasam udahritam. Udahritam means what? Said only. Tat, that knowledge, udahritam, is taken to be, is said to be, what? Tamasam. Yet tat tamasam jnanam. Tat tamasam udahritam. That knowledge is taken to be, said to be tamasic knowledge. Tamasam jnanam. What is that? Yattu saktam. Saktam means what? Attached. Sakta means attached. Yattu saktam. Attached to what? Ekasmin yattu krishnavat ekasmin karye saktam. That knowledge which is attached to what now? Ekasmin karye. Please understand, the word karyam here means product. And the product here implies the physical body. So the knowledge which contributes for the attachment to one given individual body. Ekasmin karye saktam. Ekasmin, so the person has some knowledge, understanding, it's completely wrong knowledge. How can the wrong knowledge is wrong understanding? What is wrong understanding? Tamasam jnanam means what? Improper, incorrect knowledge. Incorrect understanding is tamasic understanding. So, tat tamasam udahritam, that understanding, that knowledge is said to be taken to be tamasic. Yattu ekasmin karye saktam, that which is attached to one given individual body. Krishnavat. Like the whole. Taking it to be the whole. So that tamasic knowledge is that which contributes for the attachment to one given individual body. Mistaking it to be the whole, as though it is the whole. One's own physical body becomes the whole, as though it is the whole. Krishnavat. Krishna means whole, the entirety. Then, ahaitukam. Hetu means proper reasoning. Ahaitukam means which does not have any proper reasoning. So unreasonable. The wrong understanding, wrong knowledge, which is ahaitukam, it's unreasonable knowledge. Then atatvarthavati. See, atatva arthavati. Atatva arthavati. Tattva arthavati means what? Truthful knowledge. Atatva arthavati means a tattvarthavati. Tattvarthavat jnanam is what? Truthful. Atatvarthavati means untruthful. A tattvarthavati, untruthful. Then alpam, also what? Very, it is very mean and petty. Mean or petty. Alpam. So atatva arthavati. Atatva arthavati means untruthful. Alpam, mean and petty. Ekasmin karyes, and then ahaitakam, unreasonable. Ekasmin karye kritsnavati sattam. Attached to one given individual body as though it is the whole. So what is it? What do we make it now? We want to say all the different words. So what he says, tat tamasam udahritam. That knowledge is taken to be the tamasic knowledge, which is attached to one given individual body as though it is the whole, and the knowledge which is completely unreasonable, which is untruthful, and which is also mean knowledge, petty. So who is the one who can have this utterly incorrect knowledge? Wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge is tamasic knowledge. Totally wrong knowledge is tamasic knowledge. See, the rajasic knowledge also is wrong knowledge. Tamasic knowledge also is wrong knowledge. But still, there are subtle differences there. The sattvic knowledge alone is correct knowledge. So the tamasic knowledge must be of the person who is highly, totally materialistic in nature. Materialistic person, who is a materialistic person? The one who has much stronger identity with the material products, especially the physical body. See, the person for whom the physical body alone is everything, physical body is the individual for him, the very strong identity is only with the physical body, and his, the grossness of the mind of such person is such that he cannot even distinguish the subtle instrument called mind being different from the physical body. Therefore, the person cannot even accept, cannot even understand something called subtle mind, which indwells the physical body. Okay? Highly materialistic, gross-minded person, for whom everything is only the physical body. Thereby, the grossness of mind is such that he cannot even see that there is something subtler instrument indwelling the physical body. Therefore, he doesn't even know that there is something called mind. For him, at least he can relate to the brain, which is part of the physical body. Which means the birth of the physical body is the birth of the individual, and the death of the physical body is the death of the self. Because for him, the body is the person. The body is everything. So this person cannot even understand the existence of Sukshma Shariram. Therefore, how can he understand much something called subtlest Atma, which is even distinct from the subtle body? Impossible. So for him, the physical body is real, sense organs are real, and what was perceived through sense organs are real. Enjoyment of pleasures is everything. He cannot even aspire for much subtler pleasures. He cannot even aspire for intellectual pleasure or aesthetic pleasure. For him, enjoyment of pleasures also is only mainly sensory pleasures. Enjoyment of sensory pleasures becomes the important, a great thing for him. That is his goal also in life. Artha kamas are the goals. Therefore, like Charvaka also comes under this category. Therefore, for him what? Everything is body. He takes only the body as the self. And only one given body is the individual self for him. Therefore, what? Difference is real. And this one body itself is something, everything for him. Therefore, he says, naturally, taking the body to be the self, the whole attachment is to the body only. As if this body is everything for him. Which means the person has there's no such a thing called thinking at all on the part of this person. No thinking, no reasoning. And he just knows, doesn't make any sense. So there's no fact in it. It's absolutely untruthful. Means what? This knowledge is, there's no truth in the understanding. And it's a very, very mean understanding. That taking the body as the self. Nothing exists beyond the body for the person. And such understanding of the self is what absolutely wrong knowledge, which is very gross knowledge, is what tamasic knowledge. Yattu krutsnavade kasmin karye saktam ahaitukam ekasmin karye saktam. All attachment is only to one given body. And this body is everything. Krishnavati. Body is as though it is the whole. There's no reasoning involved. There's no fact in it. Very petty understanding. That is tamasic knowledge. Yattu krishnavade kasmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvarthavadal pancha tattamasamudahritam. Okay. I'm going to stop now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.